Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Good morning. It is good to be here. I am glad to be here. The word I was getting, though, was that that most people were celebrating my arrival by leaving town. But you didn't, and you're here. I'm thrilled that you are here this morning. Somebody was asking me about it. I said, well, you know, it is summertime, and people travel in the summer, those kinds of things. My own family didn't even come with me to help us get started. They sure wish they were here. Valerie told me this morning, be sure and tell everybody hello, and she hopes that they'll all be here very soon. We all hope that that they will be here very, very soon. It's obvious as you come in this morning that we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. I believe that's a wonderful way for us to start. And I had emailed Bob Ray and asked him about us doing that today. I know our elders have been discussing about how often do we partake of the Lord's Supper. Used to in Baptist life, you took the Lord's Supper once a quarter, whether we needed it or not, and that was kind of the way it was. But we have come a long way in that. And Bob emailed back and said that he thought that was a wonderful idea, and I was glad he was pleased with that thought. The first and foremost prayer request that Valerie and I have had as God prepared our family for a move to a new place, a process that actually would begin 3 years ago Tuesday. I know that because it's written in my journal. So it's been a long and lengthy process for us. Our prayer is that God would send us to a place where we could love the people and they would love us back. And we trust that God has done just that. That He has sent us to a place where we can love you all and love on you and celebrate new babies, and that's fun. I can't, Valerie is going to wish she was here today because she loves to hold new babies. Preferably at this point in life, somebody else's new babies, and we all prefer that, but we can do that, and we can celebrate life together, and we can, we'll struggle through crisis together, and all of you at the very back, just so you'll know, there's some really good seats up here at the front. I don't know why we go to church. Everybody wants to sit in the back. You go to a basketball game, everybody wants near the floor. At church, everybody wants near the back. I don't know why, but just so you'll know, there's good seats up here at the front. But that love relationship is going to be built in a number of ways. But key among those is fellowship. Fellowship requires more than coffee and a donut before Sunday school, more than a burger and a shake or some cheese curds at Culver's. More than a steak at Whiskey Creek. Although those are key ingredients in building fellowship, those are important. Sharing food is a great way to build a fellowship. And matter of fact, you even find, and you'll find it in our text in a few moments, it's a biblical way. It's a great way to build fellowship. But the result is a fellowship that is deep and abiding and lasting and enduring regardless of our circumstances. Let me give you an example. As I headed north on Interstate 35 on Thursday, when I began to approach Grandview, Texas, a place where I lived and pastored for 5 years, I called Robert to see if he could meet me at the fast stop. I thought if he could do that, I'd stop and fill up. I didn't need a lot of fuel. That nice little car, somebody probably figured out I'm driving because it has Texas tags on it. It didn't have to be filled up very often. That's why I drove it. But I didn't really need it yet, but I thought, well, I'll fill up because at some point I'll have to have more fuel. And he could stop and I'd visit with him for a few minutes. And it's a good excuse to see my friend. Well, he couldn't. He and Rhonda were having to go places that day and she wasn't quite ready, so he couldn't meet me. But before the end of the day, my phone rang and it was Robert. He wanted to see where I was, how far I'd gotten, how was the traveling going, all of those kinds of things. You see, Robert was demonstrating his fellowship to me. It's a fellowship that was born out of too many funerals where I preached them and he was the pallbearer. Over repairing broken down cars, my cars, he repaired them. A trip to the Dallas impound, that's a story in and of itself. Multiple mission trips. and showing up for one another in a time of crisis. All of that came from a man and his wife, Robert and Rhonda, who told me when I went to tell them that I was leaving Grandview to move to another church, who asked me that day as I sat in their living room that early morning, they said, "Do you remember how many no votes you had when you came to Grandview?" I said, "3." He said, "2 of them are in this room." It took a lot for him to tell me that. But today he's one of my very best friends. There's fellowship. Fellowship, what the Bible calls koinonia, it's one of those Greek words, we brought it over into English and we use it, and people who know nothing about Greek can spell it. But it's the result of what develops at the table, or on a roof, or in a hospital waiting room, or over coffee, or on a mission trip, and it's what develops over time. Fellowship is participating in common or sharing matters in common with other persons together, sharing those things. It can be done by while eating, it can be through praying, it can be done in a ministry, it can be developed through a crisis. It can be a multiple combinations of all of those things and many, many others. And as we do so, fellowship is built and established. Our text today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I know you all have been venturing through Acts. We will not continue to venture through Acts, and we're going to go backwards today to Acts 2. Beginning at verse 42. Let me ask you to stand together to honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning is a day of great importance in the life of Emmanuel Baptist and the life of the Knox family, a day that brings us together. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. The Knox family thanks you deeply for your work in our lives that has brought us to this place. And Father, we look forward to what will come in the years before us. We look forward to what you will do through us, what you will do in us that enables you to work through us for the development of your kingdom. And Father, I know that one of those things that is so critical is that we share a deep fellowship together as a people. And Father, that's really already begun in trips that Valerie and I have made and our families made and sharing together. But Father, as it really begins in earnest now, that we would develop a deep and abiding love relationship together as pastor and church, as sisters and brothers in Christ, as fellow followers of Jesus. And Father, that as we do that, we would see what you will do. But we would have a fellowship that unites us and draws us together to be a people that you can use. Father, that we'll be there for one another. We'll be there with one another. We'll share some meals together, but we'll share life struggles together, and we'll rejoice together in times of celebration. And all kinds of things, and we'll be there for one another as sisters and brothers in Christ to share fellowship together. Father, anoint me now for the preaching of your word. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We began our fellowship at the Lord's table. it's important for the church to break bread together. Breaking bread, is best as we can tell, is Luke's term for the supper. What he's referring to here in Acts is he's already written in his gospel about the Lord's Supper. Is he institutes shares how Jesus instituted that, and so here he refers to it as breaking bread. And best we know, he's referring to that. He may have been referring just to a meal, but most likely he's pointing to the Lord's Supper. Our fellowship is based on the fact that we hold something together in common. We hold in common that we are sinners who are saved by God's grace through the miraculous shed blood of Jesus that we have accepted by faith. We share that in common. This is to be our foundational common experience that holds all of us together. You may hold closer bonds with some of those inside of the fellowship of the Emmanuel Baptist Church because you share some other things in common with them. Common experiences and common interests. Working with kids or doing music or being involved in ESL or a variety of other things. And one of those is tenure. You've been here for a long time and you've shared a lot together over those times. We're held together and we hold in common our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It holds us together and draws us together. It's true for me on my first day with you, because I hold in common with you our faith in Jesus Christ. And so there's a built-in common denominator for fellowship from the very beginning. And we can rejoice in that and we can celebrate that. It's an element that we hold in common that unifies us and it unites us. Even if we may disagree on some elements of doctrine or practice, we have this major element that unites us and draws us together. Jesus prayed for us to be one. We celebrate our unity at the table. As we come to the Lord's table as brothers and sisters in Christ, to the meal that He shares with us, we get to celebrate the unity that we have together through Jesus and that He brings us together. And the Scripture tells us we are to continually devote ourselves to fellowship forming, to building fellowship, to establishing fellowship. It is an ongoing practice. It's something that goes on. It is not just a one-time deal and it's done. You know, I didn't take Valerie out on one date and she agreed to marry me. It didn't work that way. There were multiple dates. Matter of fact, she still likes it when I take her out on a date. You know, it's that ongoing practice. I wooed her and convinced her to marry me. I'm not sure how I did that, but I did. And so I try to convince her that it's a good deal. And so we just keep on. Establishing fellowship together is an ongoing practice, and it demands our devotion. It's not a casual thing. Oh, sure. Standing around with a cup of coffee Sunday morning, maybe somebody brought donuts, maybe somebody brought something else, and you're standing around and sharing those things. That may seem rather casual, but it's a building of fellowship. There's certainly nothing casual about coming to the Lord's table. When we think about what the Lord went through so that we may have this table and we may have this meal that we share together, there's nothing casual about it. It is a great gift from our Lord to us. And so our building of fellowship is something that we are to be continually devoting ourselves to. And so it demands effort. It demands time. It demands our priority from us, that it's a priority to us that we have fellowship with one another and we share life together. It's a fundamental element of Christian practice. As Luke writes in the book of Acts, he inserts some summaries. One of those is right here. The first one he puts is right here in this text that we've read this morning, and he writes a summary. He includes another one at the end of chapter 4, and he does them through really the first 8 chapters, and he has these summaries that kind of tell us what goes on, and they almost kind of stand by themselves. But as he begins this summary in verse 42. He gives us the basics of Christian practice of that first church. And they were that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. He's giving us the basic ingredients. So fellowship is key to our Christian faith and to our Christian practice and to who we are as God's people. Our fellowship, though, will be muted if it's limited only to the Lord's table. There must be a sharing of a fellowship at your table. We need to share in fellowship with one another at our own tables. Our family has gotten to do some of that with some of you already. We were able to do that at the Neff's home. I got to eat last night with the Endel family at their home, and the Rays were there, and Leo's mom was there. She drove up from Missouri. I told them I could have swung by and picked her up if I'd known she was coming, but there was no room in the car for her was the only problem. And when we get together and share, the early church broke bread, it says, from house to house. They shared in meals. It wasn't a burden upon one family. They shared. They moved around. Part of it, the reason they moved around is the church was growing, and they wouldn't all fit in one house. Matter of fact, they wouldn't all fit in one place anywhere. And so maybe they organized it. We think early church supper clubs are a new thing for us. No, I think maybe they started them then. They moved around and they shared meals with one another, and they broke bread from house to house. We need that as Christians. It's become easy just to go out to eat, hasn't it? Our world's made it kind of easy, and that's fine and good. I like to eat out just kind of like anybody else does, but there is something that's lacking at times when we do that. It's a little harder to linger long at the table when you're eating out. For some reason or another, the server wants you to go on so the next table can be seated and there will be more tip money. They do not encourage you to do that. We were eating a meal a number of years ago now. Valerie and I and a young couple, as a young man we were visiting with about the possibility of coming on our church staff, and we were staying at this, we were eating at this restaurant. We'd all eaten there before. It's a place that draws a number of visitors and tourists in Texas, and they always have this pitcher seated set on the corner of the table while you're there. And most people don't stay at this restaurant a long time, but because of the special nature of this conversation over supper, we were there a long time, and at one point the server just came by and picked up our pitcher of water. And just a couple of moments, she returned. It was empty. She poured it all out, and she came back and set it on. We decided that was her way of trying to tell us we had been there long enough. It was time to go on. But if you're at somebody's house, other than propriety, that maybe you need to shut up and go home so they can go to bed. Other than that, there's good for us to share in one another and break bread together from house to house and build fellowship together. There's a lot of ways you can do that. You can simply have one other family over. When the Neffs had us over to have pizza out of the pizza oven, I'm going to have to really thank Kevin a lot for that, because now my children think their dad should build a pizza oven in the backyard. In an impromptu fashion, the back fence neighbor was outside and her kids, and they just invited her and the kids to come over, and the dad was inside sleeping. He had been working, and so he was sleeping. They came over, and we got to meet the neighbor and built some fellowship. We at least know her. You can invite a bunch of people over, have a big church party and have a bunch of people over to your house, or include neighbors along the way. All of these ways, and there are other ways, and they're helpful and they're beneficial, and we share food together. We're good at that. But as we do so, we learn things about one another, and we get to build connections and relationships, and as we talk and we share and we figure out what's happening in somebody else's life and what's their history and what's their story. Who would have known coming to Rochester, Minnesota, that Bob Ray's sister used to go to the church my dad pastored where I was called to the ministry. If you don't sit down and visit and talk and share, you don't learn those kinds of things. But as you do so, you learn and you get to know one another and you build connections. And it prepares the way for us to share deep matters of faith and life in common, and to share with one another maybe places where we struggle or those difficulties that we have, but also to share those deep prayer requests and to share deep, meaningful elements of life together. It may begin with a burger and fries, but it will culminate in deep fellowship together. We also must have fellowship at the table with others. We need to share fellowship at the table with others in a couple of different ways. One of those is it's good for us to build relationships with other Christians who go to other churches. They're not all going to attend Emmanuel Baptist Church. Maybe they should, but they're not all going to attend here. But we need relationships with others. This past week, my last week in Temple, I shared two important meals. One of those was with David, the Episcopal priest across the street from my former church and my friend. One of them was with Tom, the Methodist pastor down the street a block or so from the church building and my friend. Relationships with other Christians apart from your church are good for you. We have an opportunity to learn from them. I've been able to do that with my pastor friends. I remember a lunch where Tom, the pastor of the Methodist Church, and I had, and most of the conversation that day was, well, this is how we do this. How do y'all do that? And I would answer, and I'd say, well, this is how we do this. How do y'all do that? And we learned some things back and forth, and we realized that each other had some pretty good ways of doing some things along the way, and we learned, and it helped us to grow, and we built a relationship and a formation. And for your Methodist pastor friend to tell you that even though he doesn't see you very often, he prays for you every day. That fellowship. And as we do that, we can encourage one another. When we know other Christians and they're actively involved in other churches, sometimes it's healthy to have that relationship, because you have somebody you can share something, a prayer concern about your own church, with somebody outside, and you can share in praying for them about their church and about what's happening in their places, and we get to pray for one another, and we realize that we are in this kingdom work together. We are not alone. We get to share in it with a multitude of others, and they also realize, hey, there are others out there working for the same kingdom purposes that they are working. But we can also use table fellowship to build relationships with those who do not know Jesus. God gave me a great opportunity with a man named Lee. We met when we were invited by a mutual friend to a special event. And Lee and I met. That we were just standing around while we were waiting. We introduced ourselves to one another, and we kind of hit it off. And we spent several hours today together that day, as that event lasted for several hours that day. And we visited with each other off and on throughout the day. We realized later, hey, we kind of liked each other, so we went to lunch together one day and began to visit and talk together. And that later time, we had lunch together again, and we were beginning a new Sunday school class at our church. And we were beginning it trying to target people like Lee, involved in the business community in our town. And I asked Lee to come to that class. I started telling him who would be in that class. He knew all of them. They all knew him. And one day I was walking around outside the building just as about the time Sunday school was started, and maybe it started for just a little bit, and I see Lee walking into the building. Best I know, that was the first day he came in. And I was all excited about Lee being there. And we got to worship, and I looked around and realized, well, Lee wasn't there. Well, he'd been in his class and been to that class. And one day later, we were talking, and I realized he had been coming. I didn't always see him. He would show up and go to his class and slip out and go on home. And one day he said, man, those teachers in that class, they are really good. And we had stacked the deck. There were multiple good teachers in that class. And he was bragging about them and going on about them. And I said, you know, the guy that talks in the big room is pretty good. He just laughed. He said, "You may not need to come for 2 hours." I said, "Yeah, you need to come for 2 hours." Well, before long, I realized I'd start seeing him way back over in the corner. I don't know what it is about the back corner, folks, but way back over in the corner. And not every Sunday, but you know, spasmodically he'd show up, and then he started showing up more, and then the next thing I knew he was showing up, but there was this very attractive lady with him. And they kept showing up. And a wonderful thing happened. I hope all of you in the back of the room, listen. Before I left, he sat all the way down on the second rope. Just so you'll know. Anyway, but it came along, and before it was all said and done, I baptized Lee and his fiancée, and I performed their wedding. And I'm pretty sure without some platefuls of Texas barbecue, Lee wouldn't be at church this morning, where I'm pretty confident he was, and certainly wouldn't be walking with Jesus. But he was, because we shared some table fellowship together, and we just got to know one another, and I learned about his background, and divorced, and grown children, and what he had done, and all of those kinds of things. But yet, I've watched, because we shared fellowship, and the Lord work in his life. When we share that table fellowship, it opens the doors for those kinds of things to happen. The text says that God's people were having favor with all the people. We cannot be holed up here, secluded from the rest of the world. We can't come in here and hope they all stay out there. No, we must engage them. We must build relationships with them. We must discover some things that we have in common with them before we can perhaps hold in common with them the fact that we know Jesus as Savior, but we can then introduce them to Jesus. Trust the Spirit to prepare them for what will be that biggest element that we will hold in common, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And part of what we see happening in this early church and in this summary is that the church was growing in favor with the people as the church was conducting themselves in the way that they should as God's people. God blessed their relationships with others, and they were daily those who were being saved. For you see, we always have to have more room at the table. We always need to have room for more at this table and at our tables. Don't put a cap on how many can come to the table. Do not limit who can be there. Jesus didn't. John tells us that Jesus died for the world and everybody in it. The early church didn't limit it. And in just a few chapters, Luke goes from counting heads to just telling us the church was multiplying. Here he tells us it was growing day by day. The people of God were making a positive impact on people's lives as they continued to show up at the temple. They still went to the temple. And it tells us a little bit later they met at Solomon's portico. That's where the Christians were gathering. And their impact was making a difference on other people's lives. People like Mamie. Mamie was a lady who made frequent trips to the post office, and one day she showed up at the post office and she just needed a few stamps. But there was this long line. And one observant person in the line said to her, "Ma'am, if all you need is stamps, you can go over to the stamp machine and you can get all the stamps you need right there." And Mamie said, "Yeah, I know I can, but the stamp machine will not ask me about my arthritis." You see, we need to ask people about their arthritis and their children and their jobs and their aging parents. We need to care about them. We might grow in favor with them. And we need to ask them about their relationship with Jesus. And as we do so, we build a fellowship with them. Maybe if they don't come to Jesus, never a fellowship that we could have, but we're in the process of preparing a way for them to come to Jesus and for us to share a fellowship that at the core of it is a bond that comes because we are united in Christ. In 1773, The young pastor of a poor church in Wainsgate, England, was called to a large and influential church in London. John Fawcett was a powerful preacher and writer, and those skills had given him this incredible opportunity. But as the wagons were being loaded with the Fawcett's few belongings to prepare them for their move to London, the church members showed up for what was a very tearful goodbye. And in the midst of the goodbyes, Mary Fawcett, John's wife, said, "John, I cannot bear to leave." "Nor can I," he said. "We shall remain here with our people." And they unloaded the wagons. And John Fawcett spent his entire 54-year career in ministry in Wainsgate. Out of that experience, Fawcett wrote this beautiful hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again." May God grant us, a fellowship that is sweet and knits our hearts together in deep love. God won't give me 54 years as your pastor. I'd be 98. But I came to spend as long as He will give me. I want my heart and the hearts of my family knitted with yours in love. May God grant us favor with all the people in a manner that draws them to our Savior through us. The church will grow in number and in ministry and in a variety of things that we can do. New churches will be started, and the kingdom of heaven will be bigger. May God bless our fellowship at the table and at our tables. And may God unite our hearts together, and may we be one just as our Savior Jesus Christ prayed for us to be. Let me ask you to bow your heads in prayer, and the ones who are serving the supper this morning, if you go ahead and come to the table this morning. Just take a few moments of prayer this morning right where you are and talk to the Lord. Our Father, this morning we thank You for the fellowship that unites us around this table. We thank You for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper of communion that Jesus gave to us, that allows us to celebrate His life, to celebrate what He did for us in His body and in His blood, that allows us to celebrate the unity that we have, the fellowship and the bond that we have together in Christ. So, Father, this morning we come to this table to have fellowship with one another and with You. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. This morning, Jesus, when He gave us the Lord's Supper, He took some bread, and in their custom with the unleavened bread they would have had at the table, He broke it. And when He did so, He gave thanks for it, and He said, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And together they drank the cup. Thank you, men. You may return to your seats. We want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord as we've had an opportunity to worship together today, to come to the table. And perhaps through this service, maybe during Sunday school, maybe you crawled out of bed this morning. The Holy Spirit was speaking to you about something and you just need to respond. Maybe you need to come kneel at the altar and pray. Maybe you'd like for me to pray with you. Maybe a variety of things God may be saying to you this morning. We want to give you a chance to respond. Let's stand together. They're going to lead us to sing and you make a response to the Lord this morning.